Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today in the United States, this is Labor Day, and I want to say something about this day set aside to honor those who labor. In a certain sense, we all do. But many are hard workers who make this world stay on course. All of the works that we do, all of the various kinds of works, whether it be manual labor, whether it be in offices, they are work that help the world to function. And we want to take this day to thank all those who work. I would suggest that wherever you go, whether you're out on a picnic, whether you're at home, whether you're in your backyard, take some time to maybe stop by a gas station, stop by the place where you take your car to be repaired, stop by the drugstore that you go to, whatever places are open. I realize it's Labor Day, but whatever is open, even tomorrow you can do it. Take a little time and just go and thank them. Thank them for what they do. Thank them for how they make your life easier or better or more efficient. Take time. Let's give thanks to God that He gives us work that we can do for His glory and for our ability to keep body and soul together. The opening prayer for Labor Day says this. It's prayers actually for the sanctification of human labor, that in human, hard, sometimes very dirty work physically, that the Lord wants to sanctify that work because we're working for the good of others. And God wants to bless that work. That work may be more hidden, but it's very important in God's kingdom. O God, creator of all things, who have commanded the human race to bear the burden of labor, grant that the work we are beginning may bring progress in this life and by your favor advance the spread of the kingdom of Christ. You know, if you're a man or a woman who's down a manhole, you're fixing something under the surface of the roads, or you're repairing roads, or you're truckers, or you're delivery people, or you're just a whole host of services that make our country run. I want to say personally to all of you, thank you. Thank you for what you do. And may God abundantly bless the work of your hands. Even if your work is manual labor, God wants to use you to bring blessing to many. I've been very struck by workers in stores, those who are attentive to their customer, genuinely attentive, not that's because it's what they're told to do, but genuinely attentive to their customer. They are extending the kingdom of God in a particular way. May we at least give them our gratitude today, especially. The first reading is taken from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. There are other readings that can be specifically for Labor Day, but because my audience includes so many different people from different parts of the world, I'm going to do the readings for today. The readings of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 1 to 8. Brothers and sisters, it is widely reported that there is immorality among you, and immorality of a kind not found even among pagans. A man living with his father's wife, and you are inflated with pride. Should you not rather have been sorrowful? The one who did this deed should be expelled from your midst. I, for my part, although absent in body but present in spirit, have already, as if present, pronounced judgment on the one who has committed this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus, when you have gathered together and I am with you in spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord. Whoa! Paul knew why we were created. Paul knew who we were. Paul knew where we were supposed to be going. No, we cannot take justice into our hands. No, we cannot. Brothers and sisters, we can help others. Help them to understand why they were created when they live in the truth, it will set them free from sins as horrendous as this. Your boasting is not appropriate. Do you not know that a little yeast leavens all the dough? Clear out the old yeast. Here's another analogy for us, all of us. Clear out the old yeast. What is it that usually inspires you? What is it that usually motivates? I should say, what motivates you? Is it good? Is your motivation good? Take a look at it. Be honest. What should your motivation be? So that you may become a fresh batch of dough, inasmuch as you are unleavened. For our Paschal Lamb, Christ has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, the yeast of selfish motivation. That's my addition. But with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Those are your two pillars right there, sincerity and truth. The way I live my life, is it in sincerity and truth? Psalm 5, Lord, lead me in your justice. You do not delight in wickedness. No evil man remains with you. The arrogant may not stand in your sight. You destroy all who speak falsehood. The bloodthirsty and the deceitful the Lord abhors. But let all who take refuge in you be glad and exult forever. How do we take refuge in the Lord? By making his priorities our priorities, in thought, word, and deed, all three ways. You can do all kinds of good deeds for all the wrong reasons. So it's got to be in thought, in word, and in deed. Brothers and sisters, you take a look now at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 6 to 11. On a certain Sabbath, Jesus went into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man there whose right hand was withered. The scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely to see if he would cure on the Sabbath. Do you notice they had a concern only for the law? They did not have a concern for the need of another. And Jesus is showing them what the priority needs to be. They don't like it. Scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely to see if he would cure on the Sabbath so that they might discover a reason to accuse him. You did nothing on the Sabbath. And Jesus at another point says to them, if your animal were in trouble, wouldn't you think that a valid reason to take care of him? And yet you don't take care of human beings. But he realized their intentions and said to the man with the withered hand, come up and stand before us. And he rose and stood there. And then Jesus said to them, I ask you, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil, to save life rather than to destroy it? Looking around at them all, he then said to him, stretch out your hand. He did so. And his hand was destroyed. He technically worked on the Sabbath, and so they became enraged and discussed together what they might do to Jesus. Here is Jesus healing. Here is Jesus working for the needs of the poor. Here is Jesus reaching out in love. And what do the hypocrites say? What do the hypocrites say? They're angry, and they discuss together what they might do to Jesus. My goodness, brothers and sisters, don't we do that all the time? Aren't we guilty of that? I can be. Brothers and sisters, we really, we are poor, weak, and sinful, aren't we? What we need to do is bring our minds before the Lord and say, Lord, purify my intentions. Teach me. So that I do the right things for the right reasons. That I don't do seemingly right things for the wrong reasons. Help me. It takes time to break patterns like this. It really takes time. But if you persevere, I know people who put a note to themselves on the bathroom mirror. they put a note in their purse or in their wallet or somewhere that they're going to see it. They have something in the car that reminds them, why am I doing what I'm doing right now? What is my motive? What is my intention? Now, it's never going to be perfect, but it can be disciplined. It can be disciplined so that you don't end up doing marvelous things for other people, but receiving nothing for yourself because you did it for your own selfish pleasure. You did it so people would think how wonderful you are. Isn't that silly? But we're all prone to it. And the scriptures are calling us, brothers and sisters, left, right, and center. If you've been following me the last couple of weeks, it's the church is giving us readings that really are asking us in every way possible to take a look at why we do what we do. What's our intent? So often we don't pay attention to it because nobody else sees it. And as long as we're doing what's good, everything's okay. But it isn't so with God. God sees why we do what we do. We want every thought, every word, every action to actually come to glorify him, to honestly glorify him. Pius XII said this, "The chief element of divine worship must be interior, for we must always live in Christ and give ourselves to him completely so that in him, with him, and through him, the Heavenly Father may be glorified. The sacred liturgy requires, however, that both of these elements be intimately linked with each other. This recommendation, the liturgy itself is careful to repeat as often as it speaks of an exterior act of worship. We are urged," now this is a quote, "when there is a question of fasting, for example, to give interior effect to our outward observance." Give interior, in other words, why we're doing it is equally important to what we're doing, perhaps more important, to give interior effect to our outward observance. Otherwise, he says, religion clearly amounts to mere formalism without meaning and without content. So when we go to Mass, isn't it easy for us to just fall into the routine and be thinking about all kinds of things? We're standing when we're supposed to, sitting when we're supposed to, doing everything externally. But where are our minds? Where are they? We can't do it perfectly. Human beings are human beings, and we're going to get distracted. But we can, at the beginning of Mass, every time, we can come before the Lord and say, "Lord, purify my intentions. I offer this Mass for these reasons. Help me to be attentive to you." I sometimes put a little note in my missalette that just says, "Pay attention." And I know what that means. Pay attention to why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I doing it? That's what God looks at. That's what God rewards or punishes. Pay attention. May God abundantly bless you and lead you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled "The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings." I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. "The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings." God bless you.